John wrote, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Amen. It really will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we're happy to be in your house today. You have done so much for us. You've been such a good God, and you've blessed us in so many ways. And today we could bless you for our measure of health. We could bless you for our family and our freedom and our country. But most of all, we've come today to bless your name for our salvation. Amen. That when we were desperately lost in sin, you loved us and sent your Son to pay the penalty of our sin so that we might be called the sons and daughters of God. Behold, what manner of love you have bestowed upon us. So we've come today on the first day of our week just to say thank you. We are truly grateful for all you've done for us. And we've come today with no greater agenda, no higher purpose than simply to praise and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know that when we lift you up, you lift us up. And so I pray that there'll be some people here today who'll be encouraged and edified and helped as a result of the service today. Help us as we sing, that those songs would not only bless your heart, but bless our hearts. Help our preacher today as he preaches your word. Anoint him with the Holy Spirit. And may each of us hear the message that you have laid upon his heart with a determination to do what your word says. And Lord, if there is someone here that does not know Christ as Lord and Savior, we pray today they might know that awesome love of God that would make any man or woman a son or daughter of yours. Bless this service for the glory of your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, it's my privilege this morning to introduce someone who has never been here to preach before. We're so glad to have Evangelist Ed Loney here to preach the Word of God today. Brother Loney has been traveling in evangelism for several years, traveling all over the country, preaching in camps and conferences, and God has really been using him. He preached for Southland Christian Camp a few years ago, and our young people heard him and were greatly blessed and helped by his ministry. And we have been looking for an opportunity to get him here. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but when there is a young man and God's hand is so obviously on his life, and he is taking a strong stand on God's word and preaching it with power, I want to be part of that young man's ministry. I want to do everything I can to encourage a young man like that. And I know he's going to encourage us as he uses his gift this morning for preaching the word. So Evangelist Ed Loney is going to come with a Bible message here in just a moment. Have an open Bible, have an open heart, and you pray for him.
Amen. Aren't you thankful that in Christ we have a good shepherd? Amen. I want to invite you to go to Matthew chapter 4 with me for the reading of God's word this morning. Matthew chapter 4. I honestly went back and forth on what I believe the Lord would have me preach this morning, but I believe the Lord has settled it in my mind and in my heart, and I trust that something that's said from God's word could be a blessing, a help, and encouragement to you this morning. While you're turning there, I would like to introduce my wife to you. She's over there with our son, Jalen. If you'll just wave, I'm not going to make her stand up. I have to deal with that when I get in the car, if I do. That's my wife, Jackie, and our son, Jalen. Jalen's not feeling the best today, so she's on extra duty, as you mothers would understand. But we have three other girls that are down the hallway, Eliana, Alyssa, and Lonnie. So we have four children, five and under. So when we pray in just a moment, say an extra prayer for us, we would greatly appreciate it. But I thank God for my family. I remember when I was a teenager, I prayed and asked God that he would bless me with the family. I was not raised in a Christian family, but I prayed and asked God that he would bless me with the family. And He answered that prayer. I'm living an answered prayer. And he did above and beyond what I thought he would do. And I'm just thankful for my wife and for our family and that they could be here with me this morning. But Matthew chapter 4, if you're there, would you say amen?
Amen.
I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, 'All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then saith Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.'
Amen.
Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." With God's help this morning, I want to preach on this topic, how to battle temptation. How to battle temptation. You know, there's not one person in this room, myself included, that can outgrow temptation. Temptation is something that we'll all face, and with God's help, we have to learn how to navigate and how to battle temptation. So we're going to look in Matthew chapter 4 and look at Christ, our example, and see how he battled his temptation this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into this text. Father, we thank you once again for the opportunity that we have to be here this morning. And God, we thank you for your word. And God, even as I stand here and read your word, I'm mindful that your word, it has power in of itself. But God, we thank you for times like this where we can gather together to hear the teaching and the preaching of your word. And God, I pray that you'll help me as I preach this morning. God, help me to rightly divide the word of truth. God, you know that I have some things prepared. I have some notes prepared. But God, I don't want to stand here this morning being controlled by my notes. God, I want to be controlled by you. God, I want to be sensitive to the leading of your spirit in the very moment of me preaching. And God, for those who are sitting, may they be sensitive to your spirit as well. Father, I pray there's anyone here this morning that's not sure that they're saved. They're not sure that heaven is their home. God, I trust they would not leave here without getting that settled today. And for those of us who are saved, may we leave here closer to you than when we came. Help us for these next few moments. Be with others that are meeting at this time on this property and the young people as they're meeting as well. God, I pray to speak to their hearts. And my church family, keep your hand upon them. And we'll give you all the praise and all the honor for it. In your name we do pray. Amen. When we get to about Matthew chapter 3, we are closing out about an 18-year gap in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that we see Jesus as a baby when he was born in Bethlehem. We see Jesus in Jerusalem when he was 12 years old. But from the time that Jesus was 12 until the time that he's 30, we really don't read anything about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the meantime, John is preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. The Bible tells us that John is preaching repentance. John is baptizing. And according to John chapter number 3, many people are believing on Jesus because of John's preaching. Then one day, as John is preaching, Jesus shows up. Wouldn't you have liked to have been in that church service? Where a man is standing up preaching and teaching about Jesus, and Jesus shows up, and it's almost like John stops teaching and he stops preaching and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the whole world." It's almost like John is saying, "Hey, that's the man that I've been talking about. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. He is the Lamb of God." John would say things like this: "I'm not worthy to unbuckle this man's shoe latchet." John would say, "He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he is before me." That almost sounds like a tongue twister, doesn't it? But you know what John is saying? John is saying, "I'm 6 months older than Jesus, but though I'm 6 months older than Jesus, Jesus is not just a man, he is God. And since he is God, he is self-existent, he is eternal, he always has been, and he always will be. So though I came before him from an earthly standpoint, this man is God, so he is placed before me." John would say things like, "He is mightier than I." John would say, "I came to baptize with water, but there's one standing among you that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost." John would say, "He must increase and I must decrease." You know what John is doing? John is lowering himself in order to lift up Jesus. You know, you're going to have a hard time in your life lifting up Christ if you're only focused on lifting up yourself. And after 18 years of obscurity, 18 years of silence where we don't read anything about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus shows up to be baptized by John. Sounds backwards, doesn't it? You would think Jesus would show up to baptize John, as John thought. But Jesus shows up to be baptized by John. What an absolutely amazing picture we have here. That the one that baptism pictures is now getting baptized. And can I just say for a moment that baptism does not save what baptism picture saves. So as that man stands in the water, that water is crossing his body, we're reminded that one day Jesus went on the cross for us. And when he goes underneath that water, we're reminded that one day Jesus went in the grave for us. And when he comes out of that water, we're reminded that one day Jesus rose again on the third day, just as he said. So baptism does not save, but what baptism picture saves. So we have an amazing scene here. The one that baptism pictures is being baptized. It is so amazing that the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. It's so amazing that God the Father spoke out and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Now, with all of that in mind, I want you to look at the very first word of Matthew chapter 4. The Bible just says, then. Then. Look, after God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased," now the devil is coming to attack our Savior. Can I remind you this morning that if Jesus was not above being tempted, nor are you, and nor am I. Now, there's not one person that can avoid temptation. And the moment that you start setting yourself on a track to do anything that is honoring and pleasing to the Lord, I want to warn you, better brace yourself because temptation is coming. We haven't read anything about Jesus for 18 years. We haven't heard anything about the devil himself attacking anyone since the book of Job. But as soon as God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son," now the devil is going on attack. And if you're sitting here this morning, you're saying, "I want to live a life that's honoring to the Lord. I want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. I want to be a godly man. I want to be a godly woman. I want to be a good father. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good wife." You better brace yourself, because whatever God ordains, the devil will oppose. You better brace yourself and guard yourself, because temptation is coming. Before we jump into this text, I want to give you some observations about temptation before we jump into Matthew chapter 4. The first thing I want you to notice is that temptation is common. Temptation is common. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, it says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man." Look, every man, every woman, and every boy and girl is tempted. So before you come in this morning with your halos on and you thinking all of us got halos on, you say, "Oh, I'm never tempted." No, we're all tempted. Temptation is common. You know why temptation is common? Temptation is common because we all have the same common sinful nature. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Look, by the disobedience of one, many were made sinners, but by the obedience of one, many shall be made righteous. And because we all have a same common sinful nature, that makes temptation common for us all. Now, every man is not tempted with the same thing, but every man is tempted with something. Temptation is common. But then we have to understand that temptation in and of itself is not a sin. Temptation is not a sin. Say, "Well, how can you say that?" Well, based upon the text that we're reading. Who's being tempted? Jesus is. You know, the Bible says about our Savior, according to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse number 26, the Bible says he is holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separated from sinners. Hebrews chapter 4 says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was tempted in all points such as we are." Then it says this, "yet without sin." So temptation in and of itself is not a sin, but giving in to temptation is. And when we look in Matthew chapter 4, and we look at our Savior, we look at Christ, our example, we see that it is possible for a man to walk in a wicked world, in a sinful world, in a godless world, and still live a life that is honoring and pleasing to the Lord. You can battle temptation. I want you to notice with me, according to this text, even the baby saying amen. Thank you for that. The reality of temptation. The reality. Look down at verse number 1. It says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Then it says in verse number 2, "And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards in hunger. And when the tempter came to him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. So we're going to see the reality of the tempter. Look, the first thing we have to understand when we're talking about temptation is that the devil is real. The devil is real. Look, the devil is as real today as he was in Matthew chapter 4. The devil is as real today as he was in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. If there's any man or woman that's sitting here this morning and you're saying, I don't believe that the devil is real, that is proof that he exists. So how can you say that? He's now deceived you into unbelief. Look, the same devil that wanted Adam and Eve is the same devil that wants you. The same devil that afflicted Job is the same devil that wants to afflict you. The same devil that is attacking Christ is the same devil that wants you. The devil is real. Listen to me, fathers. The devil wants to ruin you so he can get to your home. Mothers, the devil wants to ruin you so he can get to your children. Children, the devil wants to ruin you so he can impact your potential to be used of God. Never forget that the devil, he's real. Look, I like 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8. Because the Bible says that according to the devil, he is as a roaring lion. You know why I like that? Because it didn't say he was one. Look, the devil can never duplicate God. He can only imitate him. Because when we get over into Revelations, the Bible said that Jesus, our Savior, he's the true lion of the tribe of Judah. So you have to remind yourself when you're going through temptation that in Christ you have a better adversary than you have an advocate than you have an adversary in the devil. The devil is just imitating, but our Savior, he's the one true lion, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. The devil, yes, the devil is real, but just as the devil is real, God is real, and I'm so glad that our God is stronger than the devil. So we see that the tempter is real. Not only is the tempter real, but temptation is real. Temptation is real. Look, the devil came and tempted Jesus on three separate occasions. And look, isn't it something that immediately after God the Father says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. What does the devil come right behind him and say? If thou be the Son of God. Look, this is something because the same statement that is opening up the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is the same statement that would close it. They're walking by the cross. And the Bible tells us that people are shaking their heads and saying, if thou be the Son of God, come down from that cross. Look, they wanted Jesus to demonstrate his strength by coming down off the cross, but he demonstrated his strength by coming up from a grave. Amen. If thou be the Son of God, come down from that cross. Now, let me just say this. The devil is not doubting the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not doubting that Jesus is God. I believe that the devil knows more than some men know. Because the Bible tells us that even the devils, they believe and tremble. You remember some stories in the gospel records when Jesus would walk over to a demon-possessed man. Those demons would speak out and say, Master, comest thou to torment us before our time? Look, they know who he is and they know what he has come to do. So the devil is not doubting the deity or the godness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what he's doing. He's trying to tempt Jesus to do something that is contrary to his Father's word. Notice the first temptation is to his physical appetite. His physical appetite. Look at verse number 3. It says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, I want you to keep in mind that Jesus has been fasting in the wilderness for 40 days. You think it's a coincidence that the first temptation is with food? I think not. Listen to me now. If you know your weak areas and your weak moments, you better guard yourself there, because that's most likely when and where the devil is coming. He's been fasting 40 days, and the first temptation is, turn these stones into bread. Now, I'm going to say something that may be a little bit unpopular approach to this text, but Jesus turning the stones into bread would not have necessarily been sin. When we get further into the gospel records, don't we see Jesus turning water into wine? Don't we see Jesus taking a little boy's lunch and breaking bread and taking the fish and feeding 5,000? So we've seen Jesus do miracles with bread and food, with food and drink before. He's done it before. Look, this one. If he wanted to, he could have turned them into Texas Roadhouse rolls. Which we all know Texas Roadhouse got the best rolls. And I ain't saying that just because I'm in Texas. I say that in Arkansas, too. As long as they got the cinnamon butter. All right, let me get back to the Bible. So look, it was not a sin for him to turn the stones into bread. Here's the problem. The Father just led him to fast. So he's telling Jesus to eat right after God the Father said fast. Look, there are some things that become sin because of the timing of it and not just the action. There are some things that may be wrong right now that may not be wrong later. And one thing we all have to learn how to do is operate within the Father's timing. The first temptation he's tempting him with is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh. Now, we oftentimes say that the lust of the flesh is limited to sensual or sexual sins, but it includes that, but it is not limited to that. Look, the lust of the flesh is when you're desiring to do anything that God said you cannot do. That's the lust of the flesh. Look, one thing we all have to learn how to control is satisfying our physical desires outside of God's timing. So we saw the lust of the flesh, that was to his physical appetite. But then he tempts him with his mental acceptance. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Look, here the devil is being very crafty in this temptation. Look, in fact, there are some temptations that the devil will bring to our life, and if we converse with him too long, we'll find ourselves saying things like, what's wrong with that? What's the big deal? What's wrong? He's hungry. A hungry man can't eat. What's the big deal? He's being very crafty with temptation. I want to remind you that we haven't heard anything about the Lord Jesus Christ since he was 12 years old. Right now, John is the big name preacher. Everyone knows John. Everyone looks towards John. And Jesus comes on the scene as the Son of God. And the Bible tells us things like he has no place to lay his head. It's almost like the devil is saying, hey, come up here with me. The top of this temple. I want you to jump and let the angels catch you and let them see you for who you truly are. You're the Son of God. And they don't know who you are. If you jump off of this temple, they'll know when they, because the Bible says, according to Psalm 91, that the angels won't even let you dash your foot against a stone. He's taking God's word outside of his context. He's tempting him. You know what he's doing? He's giving him the formula to avoid the cross. That's what he's doing. He takes him up to the pinnacle of the temple. This is what he says. Just go over there and just jump. Can I just be plain this morning? He's tempting him to commit suicide. And let me just say this morning. If you are sitting here this morning, or if anyone is listening online, and you are having suicidal thoughts, that is not of God, that is of the devil. All of our lives should not end in our timing. All of our lives should end in God's timing. And if you're having suicidal thoughts, that is of the devil. He's taken him to the top of the temple, and he's just saying, jump. You should be somebody by now. Let them see you for who you truly are. You know what he's tempting him with right now? The same temptation that got him in heaven, pride. The pride of life. See, the lust of the flesh is when you're desiring to do something that God said you cannot do. But the pride of life is when you're desiring to be someone that God said you cannot be. There are a lot of people who have fallen to this, that I should be somebody by now. I should have a name by now. I should be known for something by now. Look, this should be the focus of all of our lives. Not just to be known, but to make him known. Amen. He's tempting him with the pride of life. There's a mental acceptance. We all have to guard ourselves from allowing the devil to have a mental advantage in our life. He's tempting him with his physical appetite, his mental acceptance. And I want you to think with me just for a moment. Let's just put our thinking hats on. What if Jesus would have sinned? Now, we know that the lamb that God offered had to be sinless, it had to be blameless, it had to be spotless. Jesus never sinned, nor could he have sinned. But what if he did? Look. If Jesus would have sinned, it would have disqualified him from the cross. Because God's lamb had to be blameless, it had to be spotless, it had to be sinless. And if he had sinned, it would have disqualified him from the cross. You know one thing that'll help us all when we're battling temptation? Before you do what you're considering doing, take a step back and think about what it would cost. See, when the first Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, it brought condemnation to earth. But if the second Adam had sinned, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, it would have brought condemnation to all eternity. Look, I don't know about you, but I'm glad my Savior said, not my will, but thine be done. I'm glad that he did not give in to his temptation. And because he didn't give in to his temptation, we know that it's possible to not give in to ours. He's tempting him with his mental acceptance, his physical appetite. But then he's tempting him with financial acquisition. Financial acquisition. Look at verse number 8. It says, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed them all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And said to him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So the devil takes Jesus up into a mountain. And the Bible says he shows him all the kingdoms of the world. This is what he says. If you just fall down and worship me, I'll give you this. You know what he's doing here? Right here, he is offering Jesus a crown to avoid the cross. But here's the amazing thing. God the Father gave him a crown because of the cross. Look, let me read to you Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 8. The Bible says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God have highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Look, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, listen to this, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So let's just do a little basic math here. The devil says, if you will fall down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Here's a crown if you avoid the cross. Jesus goes to the cross. He dies. He's buried and he raises again. Guess what God the Father gave him? He gave him all access to all the kingdoms of the earth, all the kingdoms of heaven and things under the earth. So the devil really only offered Jesus one third of what God gave him. Look, I can say with no hesitation this morning, what God has for a man in righteousness is greater than what the devil offers a man in wickedness. Don't buy into the lies of the devil that it's better over here. It's more fun over here. It's more fun. No. We serve a God that gives his children good things. And may God give us some believers and some individuals who say, you know what? When I'm tempted, I'm not going to give in to my temptation. But with God's help, I'm going to battle it. Right here, he's tempting him with the lust of the eyes. Look at all these kingdoms. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth if you just bow down and worship me. See, the lust of the flesh is when you're desiring to do something that God said you can do. The pride of life is when you're desiring to be someone that God said you cannot be. And the lust of the eyes is when you're desiring to have something that God said you cannot have. Look, we all have to guard ourselves from the temptation of trying to acquire materialistic things by any means. Look, you may get it, but what if the devil came to you with a proposition? Say, bow down. Better watch it when you say, I'll do anything if I could just have that house. Oh, if I could just get that car. Oh, if I could just have that salary. If this could just grow, I'll do it. You better be careful. The devil may say, bow down. Amen. He's tempting him with financial acquisition. We saw the reality, but then we're going to see the response to temptation. And I got to speed up or he ain't going to let me come back. Let me just point out a few things to you from verses 4. Look at verse number 4. It says, and he answered and said, here's his response. It is written. Look at verse number 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written. Look at verse number 10. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. Here it is, for it is written. Say, how do we respond when we're being tempted? Look now, you respond with the word of God. Amen. Look, the word of God in this spiritual war and in this spiritual battle is the only weapon that we have. It is the sword of the spirit. Look, I highly recommend that if this is the only weapon that you have, I highly recommend you learn how to use it. Look, when you're being tempted, don't use your words, use God's words. Look, my word has no power, but God's word, it has all power. So look, when the devil starts tempting you, don't go to the devil talking about, leave me alone. That ain't gonna work. Don't go say, man, devil, you play too much. Stop playing. Stop messing with me. That ain't going to work. You better learn how to use the word of God to defeat temptation and sin in your life. Now, I'm amazed at some people who go through temptation. And this is the only verse they can think of when they're being tempted. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. They're going through temptation. And out of all the verses in the Bible, this is what comes to mind. There is none righteous. No, not one. Listen to me very clearly. God never intended for believers to use his word to defend their sin. He intended for us to use it to defeat sin. So you're not just using God's word as some good luck charm. You have to use God's word properly. Because if you read through this text very closely, you'll see that the devil himself is also saying, as it is written, as it is written. So it's not just using the word of God. We all must use the word of God properly. Look, this Bible right here is not a good luck charm. So you say, okay, I want to make sure I'm not going to get in any car accidents this week. I'm going to put my Bible on my dashboard. You crazy. Look, the Bible only works if it is used properly and if it is applied. So he is responding with the word of God. He's saying it is written. So there's a response. But then look down at verse number 9. We're going to see that there's a resistance. It says, and he saith, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Look at this. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Look, when we're being tempted, we must show some resistance. Look, what does the Bible say in James chapter 4 and verse number 7? Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look, isn't that exactly what we see in this text? Our Savior resists, and the devil flees. Now, I'm going to give you something very practical here. When the temptation is internal, you have to resist. Something inside your mind, something inside your heart, you have to resist. When the temptation is external, you just simply remove yourself. When it's internal, you resist. When it's external, you remove. Look, don't sit in a moment of temptation talking about, I resist. No, you get up and leave. You got to get up and leave. Look, if a man is having a drinking problem, I don't think he ought to go into the bar and order a glass of water. If a man has a gambling problem, he gonna say, man, the casino got the best burgers in town. You go to Whataburger. Look, you remember Joseph when he was tempted in Genesis chapter 39 by Potiphar's wife? He didn't just sit there and say, I resist. No, he got up and he ran. I think he hit her with an in and out and a spin move because he spun out his coat. He fled. Look, there are some things in the word of God that does not say resist. It says to flee. Flee fornication, flee youthful lust. So don't sit in a moment of temptation when you can get up and leave. There has to be a resistance. The Bible says, I quoted the early part of this verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13, there have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Listen to this, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above all that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Listen to me now. God is so good that he will never let the devil corner you. He'll never do it. So we can't say things like, I had no other choice. I had no other option. Look, if you ever say that the devil trapped you and you had no other option, you might as well say, God has been unfaithful to me. Bible says God is faithful. He's so faithful that he'll always make a way to escape. Look, the same God that is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin is the same God that is faithful to keep you from getting into it. We serve a faithful God. There's a resistance, but then there's a relief. Say, Brother Eddie, when do I ever get relief from this temptation? Look, it's not going to be while you're down here. You're going to get relief when you're up there. Now, we don't see it recorded here in Matthew chapter 4, but if we were to compare this to Luke chapter 4 that records the same story, the Bible says the devil departed from him, but it makes this statement. It says this, for a season. I wish I could tell you this morning that you're going to have one bout with the devil, you're going to have one fight with the devil, you're going to be tempted one time, and you're going to win that one, and then you're done. No. We're constantly battling temptation until we're out of this flesh and with him for all eternity. Now, I can't tell you this morning, as Jesus did towards the end of this paragraph, where the Bible says, then the angels came and ministered unto him. I'm not going to stand here and lie to you and say, whenever you're tempted, angels are going to come down from heaven and minister. No, I can't tell you that. But what I can tell you, that God has made a way for you to have help from heaven through his word. And isn't it something how crafty the devil is? What did the devil say in the second temptation? If you jump from the pinnacle of this temple, then the angels are going to come and catch you. We get to the end of this, and guess what's happening? The angels are coming. But the angels are not coming because the devil tempted Jesus and made them come. The angels are coming because God sent them. God has help from heaven for us. And with his help, we can battle our temptation. The Bible says that because he died, he buried, and he rose again. Guess what we can now do? We can now walk in newness of life. We're all tempted, but we don't have to give in to temptation. With God's help, we can battle it. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes with me just for a few moments. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I thank you for how you've even challenged my own heart in the study. And God, I trust that something was said this morning that could be a blessing, a help, and encouragement to your people here this morning. And God, once again, if there's someone here that's not saved and not sure that heaven is their home, I trust they would come to know you this morning. And God, for those of us who are saved, I trust we would leave here closer to you than when we came. May we learn to not give in to temptation, but with your help, may we learn to battle it. Keep your hands upon us for these next few moments of invitation, and we'll give you all the praise and all the honor for it. In your name, Jesus, we do pray. Amen.